I think we'll go ahead and we'll settle in here. I've tried really hard not to talk about the weather for the past 4 weeks because as we've been talking about prayer and praying with an attitude of gratefulness, I feel like I haven't been able to talk about the weather without complaining about the weather. And what I found is if you take weather out of the equation, you lose a really big common conversational piece. But today I am going to talk about the weather because just seeing the joy of our kids this morning kind of undercuts any grumbling I could have for the weather. And then just an acknowledgement, hey, the Lord's in control of the weather, and he gave us rain, and he's been giving us rain, and that's good. But, yeah, that can be tough for us still. So even something like that. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have the worst parking job in the parking lot, so I actually think I'm going to have to go check my parking job here after Bible class, but we'll see. Wanted to say thank you to everyone for being here, making the time to be here, for engaging in conversation. It's really great to be able to prepare the lessons, to think things through, to be able to share that with you. And then it's wonderful to hear from everyone else and just learn from what you have been able to learn and what the Lord has revealed to you. It's a privilege to have the time to study and then come and be able to hear more and see more aspects of what the Lord wants us to hear in these things. So just want to say thank you for that. With that said, last week I felt like we zipped around and trying to zip to the end to get to that last question. And I think that was fine. Looking at this week, we might have a brisk pace again, which is fine and good. It'd be nice to go a little slower. We'll see how it goes. Maybe we can be just kind of slow and steady through it all. We're not going to be bouncing to the end of the outline anyway, but, might need to buckle up, but hopefully it'll be a good pace for us. So let's go ahead and let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this morning that you have given us, Lord. We thank you for the snow, Lord, and the beauty of the snow, the excitement and the joy that comes with the first snow of the year, Lord. Father, we just thank you that we can come before you this morning, Lord. We thank you that we can call you our Father, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we consider your word, help us to consider what does it mean that we would make holy your name, that we would revere your name, Lord? And Father, we pray that we would be a people who would honor you, Lord, who would understand you as you truly are, Lord, and that we would praise you, and that you, Lord, we pray that you would be praised in Kearney and throughout the world, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, question 41, what is the Lord's Prayer? Answer, probably a pretty familiar answer for us, and that's a good thing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the scripture is essentially the same as the answer this week. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So by way of review, what are the three questions on prayer we've covered up to this point? Yeah, what is prayer? That's the first one. Yeah. Yeah, what should we pray? With what attitude? You had it. If you got the attitude, then you've got the hook of what we covered. So we got 2 out of 3. And maybe we actually probably covered it, and I just missed you all giving me the answer. So what is prayer? With what attitude should we pray? And what should we pray? So then how does this question relate specifically to the answer of question 40? So how can we link this question back to the answer for the prior question? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they link pretty nicely. So, nothing much more to say about how they link. I was thinking this week, just been reading, reading through we have a book called Theology. It's like a theology for kids, and we've been kind of reading through the doctrine of Christ section, and just really thinking through, God the Son came to earth. He came to us, and just thinking through the truth that not only did God the Son come, but He revealed himself to us, but he also taught us to pray. He taught us to pray while he was here. So just the amazingness of God not only coming, but teaching us how to pray. And so this morning, I think that should get our attention that God took the time to do that. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So we can have a great amount of confidence in the Lord making a way and telling us what to pray. And I don't know, I think we can, we can take that for granted. The Lord came and he taught us to pray, and that was his kindness and his mercy to us. So if the Lord came and he taught us to pray, I think that should guide and direct our prayers, obviously speaking. That should guide and direct our prayers. We should pay attention to that. Now, we call this the Lord's Prayer, and I think it's fine that we call this the Lord's Prayer. In what sense is this not the Lord's Prayer, if we can ask the question that way? It's his prayer. He's in the sense that he spoke it and he taught it to us, but in what way is it not necessarily his prayer? It's our prayer. Yeah, it's an example of how we should pray. He says, pray then like this, and he's handing it off to the disciples and saying, here's how you should pray. If you look at the risk of undercutting a question at the bottom of the handout, if you look at verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, that's not a prayer that Christ needs to pray. That's a prayer for us to pray. And we'll get into that a little bit more later. So it's the disciples' prayer. If you want to see a prayer for Jesus, John 17 would be a great place to go. But just kind of a quick call out there. And, the Lord's Prayer is something that, we're pretty familiar with. I attended a church for many years where we would say the Lord's Prayer. That'd be a weekly thing that we would say. So, I think it's something that can be familiar, to us. And so let's not let that, hold us back this morning from really trying to dig in with the time that we have, this morning. And I think this is a model for us, so it's not necessarily, these are the words that you pray. Just stating the obvious here. I think we're all comfortable with that, but, it's not necessarily that these are the specific words that we pray, though we can pray that, but it's more guiding and inspiring our prayers, kind of showing us the way to go. So moving to the answer scripture section, what is the context of chapter 6? And perhaps even the first half of chapter 6. Yeah. Yeah, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Definitely. So yeah, book of Matthew, Christ is here and he is teaching. And we're seeing that he is the authoritative teacher. We're seeing his teaching from Matthew different than the other teachers. Go ahead, Roger. Yeah, definitely. So Jesus is given a few examples here of watch out, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, and beware of having wrong motives in doing these good things. And kind of the constant throughout it is if you do that, you're not going to get a reward from your Father in heaven. The reward you're going to get is that fleeting praise of man. That's going to be your reward. So the focus here is, really the question is, when we do these things, these religious practices, if you will, are we seeking God in these things, or are we seeking our own glory in these things? So this chapter really hits at that idea of what our motives are, hits at man pleasing. It's a heavy hitting section. It's reminiscent of chapter 4 too. You know, we see in 6:1, hey, beware, you need to beware. It's clear we need to watch out for this. If you go back to chapter 4, we have the temptation, of Jesus, and I think there's a connection here. So if you look at verses, 8 to 10, you know, Christ is tempted by Satan. And in 8 we have, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So here, Satan is tempting Christ to seek his own glory. But Christ says, no, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So Christ himself, when tempted in this way, chose, no, I'm going to obey the Father. I'm going to entrust myself to the Father. I'm going to seek his glory. I'm not going to try and do what you're saying and seek the wrong glory. So we're called here to do something that Christ successfully did, and he did on our behalf. He entrusted himself to the Father. And that's what we're really called to here. Entrust yourself to the Father. Seek his glory. That's going to be your good. Don't get bound up in just seeking your own reward and just seeking that garbage. Rather, be about what we're called to be about. And that's treating the Lord as holy and, making his name great. So then if we move to verse 7, so just a couple of verses before we get into the prayer, verse 7 and 8, I'll read those for us. It says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. How might we describe these empty phrases? What's an empty phrase in prayer? Yeah, a lot of repetition, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of repetition, a lot of words, lengthy. I kind of thought of like autopilot prayers. Sometimes where like you're praying, but your head's not really in it. I think that doesn't necessarily mean, you're, It doesn't necessarily mean you're attempting to have a repetitive prayer, but I know sometimes our minds wander, and that's fine, and we just, Lord, help me to center back in here. But I think if there's something where we have the idea of, like, I just need to pray this every day, or if I pray really long, then that's gonna encourage the Lord to hear this prayer. And my confidence is not in Christ, but my confidence is in the prayer itself and just like the length of it. So I think if I go further, I'm going to undercut my next question. But do you have a thought, Roger? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so it is funny how he says, hey, don't have these empty, lengthy prayers, and he gives us a prayer, and then we're tempted to take that and misuse that as well, for sure. So what are some specific flaws of these empty phrase prayers does Jesus draw out? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so lack of substance. So if we're praying a prayer and there's lack of substance, where's our heart in that? Are we pouring out our heart to the Lord? Go ahead, Liz. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's spot on. Like, I think what the Lord is saying is, hey, pray in secret. And that's going to be a good litmus test for where you're at in contrast to your public prayers. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. 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 Yeah, there is something about those groups that kind of causes us to maybe feed into that. Not that it should, but maybe something there we could tease out. For why in those contexts we're perhaps tempted to move that direction. So yeah, the lengthy, that verse 7, they think that they will be heard for their many words. So there's a flaw if we're thinking that the length of our prayers is gonna cause something to happen. And next question will unpack that a little bit more. But just to state what the other flaw is in verse 8, what's the flaw listed there with these empty prayers? Yeah, yeah. So the Lord knows what we need. So we don't need to keep reminding him, hey, this is what I need. This is what I need. Like we can pray. Obviously Luke tells us, you know, to pray persistently, but that's different than what we're talking about here. You know what I mean? So it's good to be persistent in prayer, but then what's the heart in it? So when we're praying, we're communing with our Father. that's what we're doing. So we don't need to be like, hey, this is what I need, this is what I need, and feel like, well, if I keep praying, then he'll answer because I'm just praying a lot about it. And as if the power is in me praying a lot about it rather than the power is in the Lord and his kindness hearing and answering my prayer. Mm-hmm.
So clearly, and so I this may be a question. When we say that, are we convincing ourselves? Are we reminding ourselves? And maybe even first be thinking about, it's like, okay, it's Lord, you know what? I know you know.
Yeah.
This is according to your will. But you know, Lord, I know that I struggle with this.
Yeah. Yeah, so saying if it be your will, that could be a hopeful thing for us, where we're trying to remind ourselves that we're praying in humble submission to the Lord. But it could be something that's not helpful in that, and it could be, yeah, misplaced. Empty, yeah.
Just why do we say that? We're not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's just, well, that's how I always pray.
Yeah, maybe we're not as focused, our hearts aren't as focused, and we're kind of getting into that autopilot with that. Yeah. So what do these empty phrase prayers indicate about the disposition of our hearts? Try and go a little bit more towards home base with what we've been talking about. Yeah. So, I feel like that's one that I've identified with too, is like, well, I say this, but is the disposition of my heart that it's in Jesus' name? Like, so I can pray a prayer, not have that mindset at all, pray that at the end. That doesn't mean the disposition of my heart is right, or I'm thinking appropriately about that. I think, you know, a couple thoughts, you know, if our prayers are really repetitive, then we're not really viewing it as pouring out our hearts before the Lord. It's more of a mechanical trying to get what I want from the Lord, as opposed to I'm communing with my Father. He knows what I need. And so if the kind of repetition, it might be an indicator of just a mechanical mindset where it's not a relationship and it's more to get what I feel like I need. I think repetitive prayers can also be an indication of anxiety, where we forget that the Lord knows what we need. So like I said, there's good and persistent prayer and going through that way, but there can be a prayer that we pray that it's kind of born out of anxiety, and we're feeling like, hey, I need to remind the Lord what I need. Well, he knows what I need. And from chapter 6 as a whole, we see that he takes care of what we need. So I think we spent quite a bit of time on context. Let's go ahead and jump into the answer in scripture. So as we start there in verse 9, what are the characteristics of the one to whom we pray listed in verse 9? Father, yep, definitely. Yeah, where he's at in heaven. So I think if we just stop at that point, we have two characteristics of the Lord. He's our Father and he's in heaven. And so the next question is, do we tend to emphasize one of those characteristics over the other? And why do you think that's so? Yeah. Yeah, so emphasizing Father more. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. So I think there's probably a good emphasis in what you're saying there. Any other thoughts on that? Yeah. Yeah. Did you have something you want to say, Emily, too? Okay. Yeah. So that idea of Father and King, the one who is in the heavens and does all that he pleases. So, I just doing a little reading for this class. It was noted in the reading that to pray to the Father, like when Jesus said that, there would have been some shock value to say that, to be able to pray to the Father and to refer to the Lord, the one who is in the heavens as our Father. Like when at this time that would have been like, wow, that's a shift for thinking. That's a paradigm shift there. And I think for us, you know, if the way I see it, I think we tend to emphasize the Father aspect more than we emphasize the one who is in the heavens. And so just a thought there to think through, you know, I think maybe Roger was speaking to that too, you know, the Father, let's have that there, but let's make sure we don't forget who we're praying to as well. Yeah. Yeah. And so that idea of who is in the heavens, there's a great power. Like there's power for us in knowing how powerful God is. And there's confidence in that and knowing how powerful God is. And I think that we need that too. We need to recognize how powerful the Lord is and what he is able to do. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so right from the start, where we start informs the rest of this prayer, and we could camp out and think about the implications of God is our Father who is in the heavens. We're praying to our Father and we're praying to the King. And you know, really that's part of the amazingness of Christianity is we have a God who is in the heavens, he does all he pleases, and yet he comes near and he's near to us. I mean, that there's just all throughout Scripture, this is our God. This is who He is, and He comes near. And as we said at the beginning, He came near to us in Christ, did a work on our behalf that the Father, that we may be able to call Him our Father, and He taught us. He taught us to pray. So just throughout Scripture, just this idea of like, He's the King, and He's our Father, definitely. Moving to the, and this is where it's, we're going to feel like we're zipping a little bit again. But the next question, if I can find it here, I think the next question, what is just the general focus of the first three petitions? So hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. If we speak very generally, what is the focus of those first three petitions? God, yeah. Yeah, so very much, that's God. God is the focus. And we see that in the language. It's, you know, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So the idea of your, we're clearly focused on God in His agenda. So that's setting the tone right from the start. Is it's about God, it's about His agenda, and that should be our agenda as well. That should be the joy for us, that here's who you are. You're our Father, you're in heaven, and you're going to tell us to do these things and to pray these things, and boy, that's good. And boy, I know that's good for my heart, that's good for me, and that's going to be good for everything. I mean, that's going to be good for my coworkers if these things come true. That's going to be good for our community. That's where flourishing is going to come, when these things happen that we're going to pray. So there's good. It's just good. So starting off with the next question, now what does it mean that His name be hallowed? It's a nice word for us there. I tend to say hallowed for some reason. I don't know why I say it that way, so I might slip into that. Yeah, I think holy would be a good spot to go to treat His name as holy, that His name would not be despised. Yeah. Yeah, we want to make much make much of the Lord and make much of His great name, and His name being who He is. We want to make much of the Lord, definitely. Yeah, there's a reverence for sure in that. And I was even thinking about the fear of the Lord. You know, if you're in Proverbs, you think about the fear of the Lord. I think if we're demonstrating the fear of the Lord, there's an understanding of the holiness of God and who the Lord is, and that's going to be a hallowing of the Lord's name within our hearts when we're fearing the Lord, as Proverbs calls us to do, and other sections of Scripture too. So what are some ways that we might pray for His name to be treated as holy? What are some ways that we may pray that He would be made famous, made much of? Yeah, telling others about His mighty deeds, and prayers for, Lord, help me to tell others about Your mighty deeds. Help us about Your mighty deeds. You know, make Your mighty deeds known to me and to others as well. Yeah, definitely praying for that he would help us in our walk to make his name great and to not cause harm to his name either. So that gets very much into day-to-day life. And this section, part three, we're talking about growing in grace here, and prayer is a way that we grow in grace. So we're going to pray, Lord, grow me in grace in this way that I may be more like your son. And being identified with Christ, that's going to make you look good and people are going to understand who you are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can be tempted to go to the extreme of defaming his name and seeing it as a very large transgression or something like that, but the way that we interact with our coworkers and the way that we talk about our lives and just the overflow of the heart, so to speak, and whether there's joy in Christ that is overflowing and seen by our coworkers or our family or our church members, then yeah, that's going to be an impact on how we're playing our part in treating his name as holy. Go ahead. Yeah. So Tammy's taking us right back to the heart of what we're talking about. Are we concerned about his name and his glory? Or are we here in this section where, you know, we're practicing our righteousness before others to be seen and to receive that reward? So, I mean, we're you know, hallowed be your name. We're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount here. You know, we're at the very heart of it. We're talking about our heart in terms of what we do, and yeah, where's our heart? Are we about God's glory, or are we doing the things that we're doing for us? And man, that's a tough thing to think through, and I think we often need to be humbled and set straight, and we need this prayer, you know, to be shaping us so that we're having that heart check, yeah. You know, and I think we can pray as well. We can pray for our nation. Lord, help our nation to treat your name as holy. Help us to not despise your name. So we can take this, you know, a lot of different ways. So the next couple of questions, we have, what does it mean for his kingdom to come? And what does it mean that his will be done? And so I've got three blanks there for us. My intent in this is we'll see how this goes. It may feel like, man, we're really kind of parsing this out, and we're really, you know, why are we trying to get into such detail? And I'm not trying to get technical, but I think if we can take some time and think about what does this mean, I think it's kind of like we're taking the diamond of what this means, and we're just kind of twisting it around, and we're seeing different angles. And as we see those different angles of what this means, that's going to help us know how to pray this better. So, so let's walk through these next couple of questions and ask, what does it mean for his kingdom to come?
Thank you.
Yeah, so Lord, would you come, would your kingdom come, reign in my heart? Would it reign in the hearts of others? Would your kingdom come in our hearts and be manifest in our hearts? That's definitely one angle for us. Go ahead, Dan. Yeah, so as that happens, as God's reign is reigning in our hearts, that should impact the world around us. Is that what you're saying? And I think with that idea is, you know, we have the kingdom coming in our hearts. I think you have the kingdom coming in the church too. And so with the church, you have different kingdom outposts being set up throughout the world. And the church, you know, should be an agent for change and for good throughout the world. As churches are forming and the gospel is being preached, then the kingdom is going to come through that as well. So that would be another way that we can pray, as we pray for the advance of Christ's church and his kingdom as represented in churches. What else does it mean for his kingdom to come? Yeah. Yeah, so for more people to be saved. Definitely, that's a good one. Obviously a good one. So as we're praying for someone to be saved, you know, we can pray, Lord, would your kingdom come to this person? Would you reign and rule in this person's heart? Would you use our church, you know, as a kingdom outpost, you know, to accomplish this in your kindness? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So, you know, it's here, it's coming, and it's going to come. So we can pray. We can really pray for the end of the Bible, essentially. We can say, come, Lord Jesus. Would you come? You know, I'm ready for the kingdom to come, and we can pray that. The Lord says, let your kingdom come. I want your kingdom to come. So. Yeah, and obviously I've referred to it, but just Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, that's a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Let your kingdom come. Yeah. So as the kingdom comes, there's blessing. People are saved. They know God as their Father. There's flourishing that comes as a result of that kingdom, which starts small but is growing and becoming larger. How about what does it mean that His will be done? And there's going to be some overlap here, I think, of ideas. So what does it mean that his will be done, or how might we pray for his will to be done? Yeah. Yeah, just acknowledging that your basement is his will. Yeah. 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 Okay, yeah, I see. Yeah, just the disposition of our hearts in praying for his will to be done. Yeah. Go ahead, Roger. Yeah, definitely. That's in light of what we saw last week, we know what to pray for. The Lord is clear about what he desires, and so we can pray that his will be done, and that we would obey what he tells us to do, and that we would do that with a joyful heart, not grinning and bearing it, but out of love for him, we would do that. That we would think, you know, thankfulness that Christ accomplished all for us, moving out and doing that out of love. So yeah, definitely praying that we would obey. I think that is going to be, that's going to be his kingdom coming in our hearts as we obey too. Go ahead. Yeah, praying with hopefulness, and yeah. Yeah, so knowing that one day there's going to be a day where everything will be dealt with accordingly, but even knowing that's a very good day, and looking forward to that day, also being thankful for, hey, Lord, you're being long-suffering right now, and you're giving people an opportunity to repent. Thanking Lord for his will and how he's established that. Yeah. One more thought on this is, just thinking through when the kingdom comes, God's will is going to be done. And just a gratefulness for that, and just a realization that we're going to be able to do his will in the kingdom that's coming. and we're not going to need these. We're going to do his will when the kingdom comes, and there's not going to be so much of the contrast between like, hey, beware of this or don't do this. So it's like, we're going to be with him and there's going to be obedience, and these things are actually going to be happening when the kingdom comes without the contrast of evil there. It's going to be happening. So just a thankfulness for what will happen once the kingdom comes. Just got a couple more minutes left here. So what is the general focus of the second three petitions? Yeah, so we think we have our relationship to each other, and our own needs. Yeah, so, 12, definitely relational, that verse. See our needs in 11 and 13. Yeah, so I think in one sense, generally speaking, in one sense, the first three are about God and his glory, him being made famous, his renown, and then we're moving more towards like our needs and our relationships. So loosely speaking, we could define it that way, but the Godward focus, even as you're drawing out right away, Mike, the Godward focus remains throughout. So, give us this day our daily bread. So give us the bread we need, our necessary bread. Well, who does the bread come from? It comes from God. It comes from our Father. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Idea of debts there, I think, is the idea of sin. Forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven our debtors. So, Lord, forgive us our sin. Where does forgiveness come? Only from God alone, in terms of ultimate forgiveness. And we are to extend forgiveness to each other. If we're not extending that forgiveness, it's an indication we haven't understood the gospel, indication we haven't understood what God has done. And lastly, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I think it's appropriate for us to pray, Lord, hold us back from temptation. You know we're weak, Lord, so hold us back from temptation. I think it's good for us to pray that. If the Lord chooses to bring temptation through situations, if those things happen through individuals or circumstances, I think the way I said that wasn't very, very clear, so let me go to James. Real fast here. And I may not be able to find the passage I'm looking for, but there's a passage in James that says the Lord doesn't tempt anyone, but the Lord is in control of all things. And so if things come to us, trials come to us, the Lord uses those, and those are a good thing. I think it's appropriate for us to pray, Lord, keep us from temptation. You know we're weak, and to pray in that way is a good way. And then to be grateful and rejoice if those things do come our way, knowing he's able to use those things. And just very, very lastly, from who do we pray to be delivered? We pray to be delivered from the evil one. So just thinking back, maybe 5 to 6 weeks ago, we looked at Ephesians 6. We saw that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but we have an enemy, the devil. It's good for us to pray that we'd be delivered, from him, that we would, just be aided in that. We saw that we need to put on armor. We're in a spiritual battle, and just an acknowledgement there of who our enemy is. As we think about that. If you have any questions about anything, feel free to come up. I'm happy to chat about things. And let's go ahead and let's pray. Lord, once again, we thank you that you are our Father, Lord. Thank you that because of Christ and what he has done, you have made a way for us to be brought back to you, and that we can call you our Father, and we can share that with Christ, where we're able to refer to you as our Father, Lord. Lord, please impress upon us the reality of who you are, Lord, and your power and your reign and your kingship, Lord. Just press upon us the reality of those things, and that we may have confidence in our prayers, confidence in our lives, Lord. As we prayed last week, Lord, help us to know the reality of Christ and the love that you have for us, Lord. Just please grow us in these things, Lord, that you may be made much of in our lives, Lord, that your name may be set apart, and that we may fear you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to consider prayer, Lord, and we ask that you would grow us in prayer, Lord. Continue to humble us where we need humbled, Lord, and continue to just grow us in seeing the great opportunity that we have, Lord, to pray, to come and bring our requests to you, the Father, our Father and King, Lord, and to know that you're glad to answer those requests, Lord. Please give us persistence and joy in prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.